Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In the book of Matthew, one of the early names given to the Lord Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Isaiah chapter 8, Canaan, the good land, is called the land of Emmanuel, clearly identifying the good land as a type of Christ. Canaan is a land that is rich in its variety. Listen to the wonderful details given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. For Jehovah your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and in mountains, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees with oil and of honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you can mine copper. And you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Jehovah your God for the good land which he has given you. Actually, it takes all of the rich details in the Old Testament books like Deuteronomy and Joshua to depict all of the riches of the all-inclusive Christ. Francis Ball is back with us after a lengthy absence today as we look at 10 different aspects of Christ in the book of Joshua. Francis, good to have you back. We've missed you.
Well, it's so good to be back, Chris. I really enjoy these times together, and especially now we're seeing such a rich Christ unfolded to us in the Old Testament books. Actually, there's lots of prayer these days about the land of Emmanuel.
Yeah, really so.
We really have a modern situation where we really calls forth the prayer for the land of Emmanuel. But the fact that this land is such a picture of Christ is what really engages us today. I remember when we got into this matter in Deuteronomy, yeah, where you just read, and in Joshua, where they're brought into the good land, what an unfolding this was and what a marvelous picture of Christ in so many different aspects. I believe in this message we're on today, there are 10 different aspects of Christ. So really, I look forward to this morning.
I do too. I was in Israel a few years ago, and going from the very far north where Mount Hermon is, all the way to the south, the desert of Negev and all of the areas in between. And in such a small space, I mean, to us here in America, I mean, I can't recall exactly the number of miles that it occupies, but very small. Most of our states are far bigger than the whole nation of Israel, but the variety in the terrain and how the land brings forth different characteristics and different produce, and from alpine forests in the north to this harsh desert in the south and everything in between, in the stony area in Judah, and all of the olive trees and all of the rich produce. It's an amazing place, and it certainly shows God's sovereign arrangement that that would become, of all that he created on the earth, the very type of the all-inclusive Christ with so many aspects. You begin to see these parallels as this ministry opens them up. It's really astounding, isn't it?
It is marvelous, and I just marvel at how this has been unfolded to us through this ministry, which we call the ministry of the age. That means we're seeing so many aspects of Christ that are hidden in the Old Testament that never were brought to light so clearly as they are now. To see Christ from eternity and coming into time and his incarnation and living a human life for 33.5 years on the earth,
right,
even going to the cross to be crucified to deal with everything negative and releasing the divine life so it could be poured out into others, which is depicted for us in John chapter 19 when Christ's side was pierced and out came blood and water. The blood for our redemption to buy us back, and water to be the flowing water of life to flow into us.
Amazing.
And all these and many more, but these particular aspects covering Christ in so many different unfoldings of the revelation concerning Christ that I have to admit I never had heard, never had realized. I'd been a Christian for years and even studied the Bible, but I never saw the good land and such a marvelous revelation of Christ himself.
Really so. Let me just quickly read. We won't have time today to get in detail on all of these points, but in this very short message in the life study of Joshua, as you just pointed out, there are 10 different aspects of Christ that are brought out. Let me just read the list right now, and we'll get as many as we have time for today.
Good.
Certainly, we see Christ in eternity as the infinite and eternal God, and then Christ in his incarnation, in his human living, in his crucifixion, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his body, and in his advent, of course, his second coming, and then in the millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year period we've spoken of many times before, and finally, in the New Jerusalem, all of these great aspects of Christ depicted in these types in the Old Testament, in the good land of Israel, of Canaan. What a picture the Old Testament paints.
Amen.
All right. Shall we join Witness Lee for a first portion?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
We will be still on the significance of the enjoyment of the land. The land, as we have seen already, is quite spacious, a large aspect, in other words, a large sceneries, scenery after scenery. Even just around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was 3,000 feet above the sea level. And Jericho is 1,000 feet below the sea level. So from Jericho to Jerusalem, 12,000 feet. You can imagine the scenery, right? But we have to realize this is not just a piece of land in Old Testament. It is the complete, the full and the consummate type of Christ. You all have to be clear, the Old Testament talks about the land. That means it talks about Christ.
Amen.
In the first 3 or 4 centuries, a lot of teachings, arguments, debates on Christology, the study of Christ. I must tell you, the entire Old Testament is a book on Christology. From Genesis to Malachi, you have all kinds of types of Christ. So Christ is too big, too great, it's too much. I just don't know what kind of adjective I could use. But anyhow, this morning, my burden is to show you our Christ is always different. Well, in Hebrew, Paul says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in that sense. But I say here, according to what Christ is, there are 10 particular aspects. You have to see the 10 particular aspects.
Francis, of course, as Paul says in Hebrews 13, we just heard Witness Lee quote the verse that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging in his eternal essence, in his eternal being. But there are so many aspects to this Christ that it takes the variety of the land of Canaan to depict or typify so many of these different aspects. So today we might enjoy him somewhat differently than we did yesterday, because we just had an appreciation of another aspect of him and his riches. This is really the Christian life, this kind of discovery, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it really enriches our Christian life to see how marvelously he is depicted in these types, particularly the type of the all-inclusive land and all the items that are in the land.
Yeah, you enumerated a few of them before we went into this section. Maybe pick up a couple that we're going to focus on today.
Well, we're going to see in this message that Christ in eternity was really God, and you could say alone. He was just God, but he was the Word of God. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 18 of that same chapter says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him or set him forth. So we're going to see this aspect of Christ in eternity, but also we'll see another aspect depicted here in time when he came in incarnation. God became a man. This is a marvelous truth. God became a man.
Right.
Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was in the womb for 9 months. He was born a God-man. It was both divinity and humanity was in this wonderful God-man. He came as God, but he came in to be a man. He took upon him the humanity. So in him we see divinity and humanity mingled. And we'll see more of this, I'm sure, when we get into the message farther. But I just, these are a couple of the points, but
right.
It even goes on to show how he lived on the earth, this God-man life. Divinity or the divine attributes were expressed in his human living through all the virtues that he had as a man.
He pointed out that through the ages there have been debates, even arguments between theologians that have studied the points of Christ over the centuries. And this study is called Christology or Christology, which is seeing the different aspects of Christ. But the problem is, in just a vain religious study, we will focus on our favorites and lose sight of everything but what we happen to be seeing. It reminds me of that old poem about the group of blind men who were trying to describe the elephant, right? And one had a hold of the tusk and said, the elephant is like a spear, smooth and hard with a pointed end. And one who had the trunk said, no, the elephant is like a hose. And the one has one of the legs and says, no, the elephant is like a tree, a trunk. And one, of course, has the tail. No, the elephant is a rope. And in a sense, they were all telling the truth, but they weren't seeing the whole picture. And that's why we need books like Deuteronomy and Joshua to help us discover the whole of the all-inclusive Christ. And really, we need all eternity for this discovery, don't we?
We do. And surely it's good to have this kind of revelation in time while we're here. So we get to see more aspects of Christ and all his all-inclusiveness by being typified by this good land.
Those verses you quoted a moment ago from John chapter 1 are a good backdrop for this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Christ, firstly, in eternity, he was merely God and the Son of God and the Word of God. A time came. This eternal Christ came into time. He became flesh in his incarnation. He was only God, eternity, but incarnation, he added man to himself. Man was added to God. And these two became one, mingled, blended, the God nature. And the man nature still remains, yet they are mingled as one. So he is the God-man. Eternity, he was only God, but now in incarnation, he was a God-man.
Amen.
Then he lived on this earth. God lived a human life, even human living.
Amen.
God expressed in man, through man, and with man. In every virtue of this man, you could see something divine. That is the divine attribute of God. Then, fourthly, Christ, in his crucifixion, he died as the Lamb of God. He died as the serpent, and he died as a grain of wheat. So, through his death, the entire old creation has been ended. Sin was over,
Amen.
Satan destroyed,
Amen.
The divine life released,
Amen.
The old man terminated,
Amen.
The old creation ended.
Amen.
Then what? He crucified on the cross all the different ordinances.
Amen.
Thousands and thousands of different way of living. All were crossed out on the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Well, Francis, there, in a very brief way, we saw at least four of these aspects mentioned. We see Christ as God in eternity and then as a man. then in his human living, and finally the point he just touched at the end here, which has so many subpoints to it, how could we cover them all? Christ in his crucifixion, and all that's included in that crucifixion.
So many Christians have this realization that Christ is revealed in these four ways. And but the sad thing is, this only 4 out of 10. I think before this message is over, we'll see these other 6. And that means a great deal to our Christian living. Of course, in his crucifixion, he dealt with so many things, as he pointed out in that section of the message we just heard. He dealt with everything that had to do with sin and the old creation and Satan himself, all the negative things, including all our ordinances that we keep that separate us from one another. We argue over these things among Christians. For centuries, they've argued over ordinances, what you do when, how you do it, and all these things have separated Christians and divided the body of Christ. Christ dealt with all of that on the cross. For that to become real, we have to know how to experience Christ in his crucifixion. So praise the Lord, there is such a revelation that would deal with all the things that are negative, get them out of the way so that we can experience the oneness among all the Christians with all the ordinances being crucified on the cross when Christ was crucified there 2,000 years ago.
He really dealt with not just the negative things, but even additionally, he dealt with the old man. So even our goodness, in a sense, our natural goodness, but that oftentimes is the source of a lot of these ordinances, which become the divisive things. They don't come out of an evil intent or a wrong desire. They come out of serving God in a way that we can justify and think is quite good and holy and proper. And yet, when the old man gets a hold of any of these things, they become points of division in the body of Christ.
Yeah, right. I'm so glad you brought that point out, because we don't want to leave the impression that only sinful things divide us. The good things also divide us, and that was also dealt with Christ on the cross.
Well, Francis, Romans 8:29 is a verse that we want to read before we go back to Witness Lee for our final portion today. It's a verse that I think many of us are familiar with, but let's take a look at it because it points out Christ in another aspect, and that is the firstborn among many brothers. The verse says, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, not just the only begotten. Now we see Christ as the firstborn. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, Christ, in his resurrection, firstly, he became the firstborn Son of God. He was the only begotten of God. Now he became the firstborn. Acts 13 tells us Christ's resurrection is a birth to him. Through resurrection, his human part was sinized to make a part of the Son of God. Now, he became the firstborn. Not only so, when he was born in resurrection, he was born with millions of his believers.
Amen.
We all got regenerated through his resurrection.
Amen.
So we all became the many sons of God.
Amen.
He also became the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And the life-giving spirit is a compound spirit,
Amen.
Compounded with his divinity, humanity,
Amen.
Death, and resurrection.
Amen.
This spirit is just the pneumatic Christ himself. And you have to know, this pneumatic Christ is the reality of resurrection. When we live in this spirit, we live in resurrection. When we love people in this spirit, we love people in resurrection. Could you see this? Christ himself, as the life-giving spirit, the pneumatic Christ, is the resurrection. Then after his resurrection, he became in ascension. In ascension, he was appointed the Lord to possess the whole earth and Christ to bear God's commission to complete God's entire economy. And he was also established the ruler on this earth. As such a ruler, he manages everything on this earth. He arranged an environment that we can hear the gospel.
Amen.
That we can believe in Him. And this is Christ in ascension.
Well, we touched two more big items, Christ in resurrection, Christ in ascension, and time runs out before we can get to the last four of these 10. But let's at least spend a couple of minutes, Francis, to fellowship on these two points. This first one he mentioned about his resurrection. Of course, we know that when he was born in the Virgin Mary, he had a kind of birth. But on the day of his resurrection, Acts 13:33 tells us, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." That's, of course, a quote from Psalm 2. Another kind of birth took place on that day, didn't it?
That's right, and that is explained quite well in Romans chapter 1. And there we see how he was bringing, by his resurrection, he brought his humanity into a sonized position.
Yeah, I use that term.
And I think that's very important that we see that Christ sonized his humanity. That means he was born in his resurrection with a kind of sonship that belongs in the divinity of God.
Yeah.
And we are made the many sons out of his being the firstborn son. God wants a whole family just like Jesus Christ in his resurrection. So in his resurrection, he regenerated all the believers. And Peter, it tells us that in the resurrection of Christ, we were all regenerated. That means we got another life. So that makes us one of the brothers of the resurrected Christ. And I think this is marvelous, that we could be sons of God, brothers of Christ, and be the same as the firstborn son, Jesus Christ, in his resurrection.
In his resurrection, in life and nature, of course, never to be the same as he is in the Godhead, but in his life and nature, the pattern that was the prototype, so to speak, of his mingling of divinity and humanity in his time on earth, this does get duplicated in the believers, doesn't
it? Right. And I think it's very important, as you mentioned, that we realize that this is in life because we were born of him, and in nature because we partake of the divine nature, but not in the Godhead. We are not to be worshipped, and we are not almighty. We are really in life and nature an increase of Christ.
Well, I wish the time would slow down so we could get to many of these other points. There's a few more, as we mentioned them at the beginning of the program. We won't have a chance today to fellowship on all of these things, but we still have in his body yet to see him in his advent or his second coming, in the millennial kingdom and in the New Jerusalem.
Marvelous.
Short but very, very solid portions on all of these points are included in the printed message, the written life study. So why don't we mention that to our listeners? This volume on Joshua actually is one single volume, but it includes a life study on three short books in the Old Testament, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. We're now very near the end, just one program to go in Joshua after today. Then we'll go on to Judges, several programs on Judges, and then a very sweet book, the Book of Ruth. And all of these messages are included in the printed life study. So if you contact us, we can tell you how to receive this entire volume where you'll get the life study on all of these three wonderful Old Testament books that show us so many aspects of Christ that we could never see just in the New Testament alone. Francis, thanks. I'm glad you got back to Southern California and to our radio studio before we finished Joshua. But now that you're here, we'll make sure that you have a big part in the life study of Judges that's just ahead.
Thank you very much, and I'm so glad we got in on this particular message, and I just would like to encourage all the listeners to get this printed message. We can only give you a little portion of it,
right,
but if you get into the written message, you see the depth of the truth that we've been talking about.
Well, for Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening, and join us again.